I think they do a great work. They've got those names which you hear wherever you go in any shofar circle, their names will come up sooner or later. So, yeah, it's always good to hear about what you do and your faith, and it's encouraging. And it's a privilege to have you with us this morning. So enjoy.
Thank you so much. I don't know if I feel encouraged or worried about wherever you go, you hear our names. I normally joke and say, I'm known by my husband. But these days, I'm known by my husband and my eldest son. He's 17, and wherever he goes, people hear him, see him, and experience him. So whenever I go to his school, parents' evening, whatever, I'll go to the teacher and say, hi, I'm Nordina Dame, and they go, are you Daniel's mother? It's me. I'm not always sure what he's up to, but that's the reaction I get. So when I hear our names are mentioned in different places, that's the sort of emotion that comes up. Oh, my goodness, who's messing up? I'm Mac's wife. We have two kids. They nearly 18 and 14. You know that the teenagers, they always say, Mom, just add another year because soon I'll be 18. But when you go to the old age homes, you ask any person, how old are you? Then they say, I was 83 years ago. So they will soon be 18 and 14. And it's really a privilege to be here this morning. I always say when you preach away from home, home for me is Shofar Stellenbosch. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that that I have the opportunity to bring something of God's heart for you this morning. I really believe and hope that the Lord will give you the tools and the keys to open in your heart what needs to be opened this morning. So Jesus, we just want to come to you this morning, and we want to ask you, Lord, that you will come do what you always do. That you speak to our hearts, change our hearts, and the way we think about things, that you will change that. That you will come do this morning what you always do, and that what your word says that you do. You come to heal broken hearts. You set captives free. You are a fair God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You never sleep, nor do you slumber. You are our shepherd. You're the rock of ages. You are our Ancient of Days. So in this morning, we want to come to you and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, we need you here this morning. Need you to work in our hearts, to change us, to mold us. So we want to come this morning like soft clay in your hands. And we want to ask you, Lord, mold us and make us into that which you dream about us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to speak on shapes and sizes. Because ultimately, it's the Word of God that needs to shape us into a size. But I think there are many other things that shape us these days. So we don't have a huge size in the spiritual world, if I may say it like that. I think we so easily, without us knowing it, we conform to things. But we're convinced this is the godly way. So I thought this morning is really not a sermon. It's not a teaching, it's a reminder of what God's Word is in our lives and what the Word of God comes and does for us. So my prayer really is that the Lord will bring new wine this morning, living waters, fresh manna, that everything will become fresh in our hearts this morning. Who knows what Bible stands for? Ilana? She's got my notes. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. Why is that? Because the Bible is our instruction manual. If the Bible is our instruction manual, it gives us the instructions how to live. Am I right? Do you know that the Bible is full of promises and full of love letters? Who has received a love letter from a lover ever in your life? You know, you read it and you really believe everything that person says in that letter. All the promises they make, you really take it to heart, and you know the person who wrote the letter really wanted to tell you, I'm willing to lay my life down for you. I'm willing to do everything for you so that you will experience my love. Am I right? That is the word of God. But we forget his promises, and we forget that we can go back and read his love letters to us. And just as a reminder, there is no expiry date on God's promises. It's not a packet of chips that we eat or a baked bean tin. There is no expiry date on it, ever. There's also no limitation on it. It doesn't only apply to Theo and Ilana's life, but not to Rian and Michelle's life. When God says, my word is there for you to give you instruction how to live life, it applies to all of us. Okay, so if it's our instruction manual, we need to admit this morning that the Bible is not there for our information, but for our transformation. Why is that? When I read any instruction manual and I know how something works, it transforms the way I think. I know how it works. I can teach somebody else then how that appliance works because I read the instruction manual. Am I right? I'm very quiet this morning. So when we use the Bible as instruction manual, the first thing we need to know is, what is God's love all about? 1 John 4 verse 18, and I really would like all of you to read it out loud. 1, 2, 3. Such love has not fear, because perfect love, if we are afraid, it is for fear of, and this shows that we have not fully. Why don't we want to share with other people what the instruction manual says? Fear of the punishment. And that punishment is the fear of rejection, the fear of man, the punishment that other people might, the stick other people might clap us with. We're scared of that. We're scared of that punishment that can come to us. And the reason we're scared is because we have not fully experienced God's love. Isn't that so true? We know it in our heads and we convince ourselves we need to share the gospel. We need to do this. It's not a need to. We have the keys. We have the secrets. We have the love letters to help somebody else to understand how to live life through the instruction manual. I am one of those people that firmly believe that church is not for church people. I really believe church is for the unchurched. I really firmly believe it. I think it's one of the strongest emotions I experience when I speak about it. Because we're so used to speaking in a language that we understand. Because we understand what the instruction manual says. But we're not willing to share it with the unchurched to make their lives easier, to take the pitfalls out of their lives. Am I right? We're all guilty, hey? So let's have a look then. If the Bible is our instruction manual, I like comparing it to a washing machine. I think it was the beginning of last year, our washing machine broke. So I said to my husband, Mac, I said, let's do this the simple way. We're just going to buy the identical same one, because I don't want to read any instruction manual. Does that sound familiar to you as Christians? Now, I know what the Word of God says. Please have a pity party with me. I don't want to go back and see what it says. Just I know how it works. So don't preach at me. Don't convince me. Don't say to me I need to forgive somebody. Don't tell me there's no space for offense in my heart. I know how it works. Okay? So we're not going there. You identify. Okay, so we bought exactly the same washing machine. I threw the instruction manual away because I know how it works. That also sounds familiar when the Bible is our instruction manual. I couldn't get the washing machine to work. So I have to go scratch, and I am a very pedantic person. I have to go scratch through my dustbin to find the instruction manual again. Can you see what the enemy does with our lives? He convinces us we know what it says. And then we have to go back and clean up all the mess in our lives. We have to scratch through all the poo and all the manure and all the rubbish to get to God's word again. Because we caused all those things. So I had to read through the instruction manual. And I realized I changed a few buttons. And there's a timer. And read through it, did everything. Still couldn't get it to work. What do you do then? You call the man who services the machine. If we don't get God's word as our instruction manual, what do? We call the man who services us. Because the word of God says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. It's not an option. It will not be in the way we want it to be. It will not be in the outcome will not be the way we want it to be. But he comes and he services us if we say, I don't know how it works, God. Help me. Just come and save me. So I phoned the man who services it, and I've learned this from a washing machine. It's got an inlet and an outlet. I'm not very mechanically clever, sharp. I realized there's an inlet and an outlet. If the inlet is blocked, the machine is not working. If the outlet is blocked, the machine is not working. We are exactly the same. We need water. Inlet allows water in. We need water, the Holy Spirit, to come and cleanse us, to flow into our lives. And what else goes into the water? Soap. It's the word of God. It's the soap that washes us and cleanses us. But if we don't allow the word of God in our lives and the spirit of God in our lives, the machine is not working. So we're going to have a look this morning on what does God's word say the Bible is like. Now, I only took a few because we only have, as far as I know, 40 minutes. So I only took a few examples. At this point, I'm going to sound like a real teacher. Take out your pen and paper. Your teacher taught you in grade one how to write, because if you write things, you remember it. And I really would like to encourage you to write it down, because you can go and check up the scriptures again and go spend time in the Word of God to really and read more up on those things. So I took God's word and I said, I went to look at scriptures that says God's word is like something. God's word is like whatever. The first one is God's word is like seed. But it's my dad is a farmer. He farms in the Bredasdorp area. And there's one thing I've learned from a farming community. The type of seed determines the type of harvest. I read a quote the other day. I loved it. It says, we are part-time Christians that demand a full-time God. Very true. We sow certain seed of the Word of God in our lives, but we expect a full harvest. If God's Word is like seed, then it's my responsibility. I have to make the choice to read God's Word to allow the seed to be planted and grown in my heart. And a seed can only multiply after its own kind. How do you know what is in somebody's heart? How do you know that? It comes out of their mouths. And that is why Proverbs says, be careful what is in your heart. Why? Because it's the place, it's a wellspring of life. It's a place that we live from. Be careful what you allow in your heart. So if you don't allow God's seed in your heart, it's not going to come out of your mouth. There's no instruction you can give to anybody else. Let's have a look at Luke 8, verse 5 to 11. It's quite a few scriptures we're going to read. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seed. Let's say the farmer is Christ, and the field is our hearts. It's your own heart. Not mine, your own heart. As God scattered it across the heart, some feet fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. So let's say God comes and he sows seed in our hearts, but our hearts belong to something else, the footpath. So it can't germinate in our hearts because this soil is not ready, but this idle thing is ready. You know what an idol is? I like the Afrikaans of it. And who doesn't understand Afrikaans? So I'll quickly say this in Afrikaans. An idol is a afgod. Alles wat jou afval van God af. That's a footpath. Okay, so let's carry on. Other seed fell among rocks because our hearts are too hard. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Who gives moisture? What is moisture? The water. Holy Spirit. So our hearts are so hard that nothing, it grew a little bit because our hearts are after God. But it's not a place where we allow the Holy Spirit to operate. So it dies. Other seed fell amongst thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Can you see the idols? Our hearts receive the seed, but there are so many other things that compete for the seed of Christ that it grows stronger and then it chokes out the seed of Christ. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. Who can testify that the moment you read the word of God, it produced life within you, and you just start telling other people about it. And more people say, I've never thought of this. I feel so convicted. This word convinced me. 100-fold. It's not for your benefit. It's for the unchurched people's benefit, because you live according to a certain instruction manual. When he said this, he calls out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. God says, if you read my word and it falls on fertile soil in your heart, you are permitted, you are allowed to understand the secrets of my kingdom. He says, then I welcome you into a secret place because I know that you will go out and multiply that seed. But I use parables to teach so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. When they look, they won't see. When they hear, they won't understand. There we hear the two places seed has entrance to our hearts, what we see and what we hear. What do you listen to? Do you listen to a whole lot of gossip talk? I heard this. Oh, I don't know if I really like that person because I heard she said that about him. So that seed grows in your heart. What do you see? Do you direct your footsteps based on what you see or based on what the Word of God says to us? That is the reason we get so confused. We allow seed to enter through our ears and eyes to germinate the seed in our hearts, not the word of God. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. How beautiful is that? Whole story, just to say, the seed is my word that can germinate in your heart and bring forth life. And that is why it's so important not to replace any book with the word of God. No camp with the word of God. I often hear, I'm not dissing any ministry. I just want to use an example because I really feel every church going person is guilty of this. We say, John, Joel Osteen says, Joyce Meyer says, Rita McPherson says, who else? We can easily tell other people what those preachers say. Why? We just go to them. We receive their seed. Oh, yeah, that's amazing. We carry on. That's the seed that multiplies in our hearts and bears a harvest. How often have you listened to specifically well-known preachers and you go, that's not according to the word of God? Because we carry the seed of God in our lives, not the seed of people. Okay, and that is why one of the huge reasons why it's so important to do membership at a church and belong to a church, because God aligns you, all of us, according to a certain way, so that you can recognize. We do it like this. Shucks, I'm not quite sure whether we're right, or we do it this way. I feel so good. I realize we're on track. But if you go and you eat everywhere, you have a whole lot of seeds in your heart, can't multiply. If you run after ministry and prophet after prophet, there's nothing that can multiply. You hear that? You recognize it this morning. Okay, then the second thing is the word of God is like rain and like snow. Really try to go find the scriptures that we don't know very well. We know God's word is like a sword. We know that. So I didn't put that in, okay? Just for the teachers amongst you. That Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. What does rain do? Why do we pray for rain? It waters the earth. It produces food. Why? The moment rain falls, it waters the earth. The moment it rains enough, it fills our dams. The moment it rains enough, there is storage to feed nations and towns and communities. God's word is like rain. But there's a time for a rain season in our spiritual life, and there's a time for a snow season in our lives. When it's a rain season, who grew up in the Free State? Who grew up in Namibia? The Karoo? Those three places, it works like this. It's dead. There's nothing. It's just red or gray or sand or whatever you see. The moment the rain falls, the next morning, there's green. You see the green coming up. Rain has an immediate effect on our spiritual lives. I love that old song of Michael W. Smith where he says, let it rain, Lord. That is what it is. And I think it was Hosea that also prayed, Lord, send the rain. And God sent the rain. But there is a time, and this is the difficult time, where God sends snow. I used to live for 5 months in Russia, and snow covers the earth. Water goes underneath the earth. It feeds plants. It feeds the earth. Snow doesn't do that. It snows and just covers the earth, and it becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. Does anything grow underneath snow? Nothing. Everything dies. And often in our spiritual lives, we experience a snow season. It doesn't mean we should stop sowing the word of God into our lives. That word goes like snow and it just starts covering your spiritual life. And it's just more, layer upon layer upon layer, nothing grows. That is when Christians say, I pray, feel I'm praying into the ceiling. I'm reading the word of God. It's really just like a ritual. Keep doing your ritual. It is just snow covering layer after layer after layer. You know what happens when snow melts? It waters the earth very deep, very prominent. Life comes forth. I quickly want you to go to Job 14. Quickly find Job 14 for me in your Bibles. I just want to see which verse. Can you show it to me? From verse 7. Let me quickly read it for you. It says, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. And its new shoots will not fall. Its roots may grow old in the ground." Who feels like an old Christian and you're just used to the way things are and nothing wrong? "And its stem die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant." At the smell of the Spirit of God in your life, that word says it will bring forth life. But your heart needs to be turned to Jesus' heart and say, "Have my all, Jesus." We sing it, but we don't live it. And I'm not pointing a finger, we are all guilty. So a snow season is different. A snow word is different than a rain word. God's word is like snow and like rain. We pray sometimes for people to get healed. They get healed instantly, amazing testimonies. Then we judge the person and say, "She prayed for me and I didn't get healed, so we all need to go to him for healing." We're all guilty, hey? God's word was just rain and that was just snow. God knows who we are. God knows whether we need seed. What seed we need. God knows whether we need rain or whether we need snow. Saying that, you've seen that there are two seasons, a snow season and a rain season. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. It says, "Preach the word of God." It does not say there, "Nordin, preach the word of God." It says, everybody in this building, if you're a Christian, put up your hand. Laid your life down for Christ, you who put up your hand, it says, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not." God says, "I'm not worried if you're going through the darkness of your life. I'm worried about the season you're in and the seed that you've allowed the word of God to sow into your heart. Patiently correct, patiently rebuke, patiently encourage other people with good teaching." How do we know good teaching? We read the Word of God. We don't have to get involved in fights. We just want to go, "I have an instruction manual I read every morning. And there I learn that God is fair in all His ways. I also don't understand this, but I know He's fair. He's a fair daddy. I don't know what's going on here, but I can recognize it as discipline because I've also experienced discipline." It says there, in another, I think it's the NIV that it says, "Preach the gospel in season and out of season." Not when you're ready, not when you feel prepared, whether it's rain or snow. You share the word of God. Why? Because God's word is living and active in our hearts. You know that scriptures in Hebrews? It's living. When we read the word of God, when we listen to the word of God, it brings something alive in our lives and it's active. It doesn't leave us the way we are. Then the third thing is, God's word is like fire. love the scripture. It's Jeremiah 23 verse 29 says, "Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord?" Who has experienced God's word that burned like fire? It's like you're trying to ignore it, but you really can't. It's with you day and night. Like I said, my dad is a farmer. One of the things they farm with is they export fynbos. And every 5 to 7 years, they burn certain fields. And it is dry, and it's black, and it looks terrible. And after year 3, you go, shucks, nothing's growing here. You really feel like, oh, it's dead. I've seen it now year after year. This is year 3. It's really dead. But then after 5 to 7 years, there's a new flower that gets produced. A new fynbos that is a much better product than it was before the fire. And God's word says that about us as well. He says he comes with his refining fire and it produces gold. Who wants to go through fire? Not me. I don't like to sickle in life. Things must go easy. I want to plan it. It must happen. But then God comes with his fire, and there's no life. There's nowhere to go. Let me just refer back to the previous scripture. God says, you do not stop serving me. You do not stop going to church then. You do not stop wondering whether I'm faithful. You know it, because you need to keep on sowing seed, godly seed, the word of God in your life. It's not, where you are at is not dependent on is God good or not. God is always good. We're going to walk through the fire. Sometimes it will burn us, other times it won't. So when we read God's word, it often will come and it will burn like fire, like really convicts us, like, I have to stop with that. And then you do it again and instantly you will be reminded, God spoke to me about this thing. God's fire comes and burns everything away in us that does not belong in us. But remember, God comes with his refining fire if we say, work in me, God. He says, when we read his word, the word will have an effect. It says, when we read his word, it will be like seed in our hearts. When we read his words, it will be like snow. When we read his word, it will be like rain. When we read his word, it will be like fire that come and burn things away, because fire purifies. In that same scripture, it says God's word is like a hammer. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? When we read God's word and you have a place of unforgiveness, or offense, of bitterness, it's God's word that comes into that hard place and it punches you in the tummy and it feels like your wind has been pushed out. And then all of a sudden you just start crying. You just tender in your heart and you go, what is wrong with me? When we read God's word has the ability to smash open our bitterness, our hardness, our unforgiveness, our pain, the things we try to hide. When we read God's word, it smashes those things open. You know what happens when a rock gets smashed open? Living things. We discover living things. We discover there's a beauty inside this rock. Often there's water inside. So when God's word smashes like a hammer, it is because there's living water, God says. I want living water to spring forth from your belly, the word of God says. Then we experience that. The one everybody knows very well, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I live in Stellenbosch. So the girls come to me and say, I've been marked, I've been attacked. Then I say, where did you walk? Was there light? Was there darkness? No, I tried to take a shortcut. I said, oh, my darling, you do not see the enemy when it's dark. When you walk on a dark road, you're going to fall and get hurt. God's word brings that light to our lives. If you experience darkness at this stage of your life, change direction. The enemy can take you out if you walk on a dark road. God's word is a lamp at my feet and a light on my path. Walk according, I want to call it the rules, the instruction manual gives us. Don't try other things. You will fall there. The enemy will come and attack you there. Walk where you can see God's light on the path. And then, the one our Christians are so guilty of, God's word, when we read God's word, it builds our faith. Not when we pray for more faith. Faith does not get built through prayer. Faith gets built through reading the word of God. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. What is the good news? Our instruction manual. That is where we find the good news. Not, oh Lord, I need to buy this house. Please, Lord, give me the faith. Please, Lord, I don't know. Read the word of God. Go back to the instruction manual. Because the instruction manual says, consider the cost before you're building the house. Not blindfold you and say, oh, my God is my provider. I can buy the 6 million rand house. He has to provide. No, no, no. The instruction manual says, consider the cost, and then you can make a decision. And that has nothing to do with faith. Faith gets stirred when we read the Word of God. Faith, God's Word, get activated by the Holy Spirit. Humans can reproduce only... You can read it out loud. Humans can reproduce only... But the Holy Spirit gives birth to... When do you get water for your spirit? In the presence of God. When you have an encounter with Christ. When you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Not when I walk over to her and we have fellowship and we stir each other's faith and we have a meal together. That makes us feel amazing, and that is part of it. But Holy Spirit gets activated when we read the Word of God, because then spiritual life gets, that is, rebirth, reborn. And when we spend time in the Word of God, living according to the instruction manual, somebody comes to you and asks advice. You know what? I know what this instruction manual says. I know the thing that will bring life to your life. We multiply that harvest. You can go read this week, John 16, to see who Holy Spirit is. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. He is our comforter. He's the one that gives us advice. When Jesus went to heaven, he said, who's going to stay here with us? The Holy Spirit. Go read in John 16 who the Holy Spirit is in your life. And then I end off with this. A Bible in a bad condition speaks of a life in good condition. We have fallen into a trap of the following. And I'm really not pointing fingers. I really feel we as a church family need to get to a place where we're really honest with each other. We read the Bible on our cell phones. So an email comes in and we just quickly, okay, I'll go answer it just now. And then we keep reading the Bible and then a WhatsApp pop in and we, okay, let me quickly go read it. When a farmer prepares the field so that they can sow the seeds, there's no distraction, nothing. Can I tell you, my dad works around the clock, 24 hours, non-stop, the tractors run on that farm to put the seed at the right time in the soil. They never stop. Never. Until the seed is in the soil, they start watering day and night. They don't stop. He doesn't come home to eat. He doesn't answer his cell phone. He's, this is my baby. And this baby needs to produce a harvest. And God says, he's the farmer. He never gets distracted with us. And he says, don't get distracted with me. Put the idols away. Be honest with yourself. What are the idols that take your attention away from Christ and his word? Because when we've got God's word, somebody comes to me and say, Nadine, please pray for healing. I don't pray for healing. I pray what the instruction manual tells me. God is your supplier. God is your healer. He's your advocate. He's the one that will send the snow and the rain. He's the one that will touch you. He's your shepherd that will lead you to green pastures. And then when people get healed, they know it's Christ. Because I said, Lord, you're the healer. This is your choice. You know whether this person needs instant healing or a road where they're going to read your word, and your word will be like fire, like a hammer, like seed, like a lamp. Remember I said, I'm not preaching at you this morning. I just want to remind you what we've got in the word of God. We've got the instruction manual. There is a place that we want advice or mentorship, but never, never forget what the Word of God offers us. Forget about the fact that it's your instruction Bible. Remember from now on, it's the manual that teaches you how to live by. I love two examples in the Bible. And I'm just going to give you the second one. There's a woman that suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years. It's a story in the Bible. It's an instruction manual. Why is that story in the instruction manual? To teach us what to do when we're in desperate situations. That's all it is. It's to instruct us how to live. The story goes as follows. She's desperate, eh? She hears the Messiah is coming to their town. Now, when we read the instruction manual, it says Jesus walked with a few thousand other people, and the next moment he said, somebody touched me. Why did he ask that question? Do you guys know? God is sovereign. He doesn't have to ask questions. He knows. I'm going to shout now, so prepare yourself. I think what he heard in the spiritual world was this. Jesus, I'm hungry. Jesus, I'm thirsty. You're the only one that can heal me. I really think that is what Jesus heard. And he said, there is somebody in this crowd of thousands that drink from the fountain of life. Who are you? Because I want to make an example of you for others to come, that's us, when they read the instruction manual, that they will know you don't give up. I think she prayed 12 years for healing until she got to a point where she shouted and she screamed, and there was a resound and a certain sound in the spiritual world, and everyone went, whoa! What is that? That is a desperate soul that kept sowing the word of God. And now I'm a giant. Now I've got size, because the word of God shaped me, and I know he's the rock of all ages, and I will stand on this, and I will not go to a doctor anymore, and I will not go to, I don't know what they went through to in those days. I know Luke was a doctor, so they definitely had doctors in those days. And I'm not saying please don't go to doctors. I'm saying our source of life is Jesus. And we as Christians have a manual to help the unchurched, not to get them in church, to tell them there's life in abundance, there's a harvest we can share with them. I just want all of us to close our eyes and just spend 1 minute and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of a promise He's given you. Not a prophetic word. A prophetic word is confirmation in your life. A promise comes from the Word of God. Just ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of a promise He's given you. And there's a certain reason why you forgot that promise. The ways of the world. Your suffering. Whatever. Silenced that promise of God. And I want you to just come before the Lord all by yourself. Quietly and just say, Lord, forgive my unforgiving heart. Forgive me that I never believed your word like I should have. Lord, whatever you need to repent for, repent. First, just repent what's going on in your heart. After you've done that, you keep your eyes closed and you just say, Lord, I take your promise. I will taste and see your goodness in my life. Whatever that promise is, that's from the Word of God. You say, thank you, Lord. That promise never expired in my life. And we're just going to end off with this song. It's a very simple song. We're going to sing it 3 times. Just sing it as a prayer to the Lord this morning.